Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello and good morning. It's Kim the doula. Welcome to Birth and Parenting Things podcast. And yeah, it's fall. It's October. Halloween is literally right around the corner. And I, for one, am quite excited. I actually really like Halloween. It's kind of my jam. Last couple years has not been great for Halloween and my energy levels toward it, but this year I'm definitely getting back into it. I actually find Halloween actually better than Christmas. I know how awful that sounds, but I just feel like Christmas has this entire, you know, need for perfection, and it's full of anxiety to make everything right. But with Halloween, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, you know, exact. So that's good. So that's why I like it. It can just be fun and messy and doesn't matter. So I'm not feeling all that great today, but that's not unusual. I tend to get headaches and whatnot this time of the year, so that's what I'm experiencing today. So I'll try and get through this recording and yeah, take it from there. All right, so this week I wanted to talk about postpartum mood and anxiety disorders in the male parent, because I think sometimes we talk a lot about postpartum mood disorders, or what's often mislabeled as postpartum, in birthing parents. But the birthing parent can struggle. We know that the birthing parent can struggle in the first few weeks or longer after birth. And this is something that happily is losing its negative stigma. But as someone who struggled myself with postpartum depression, I'm happy to see people talking about it and getting help and support for it. However, we don't often talk about the struggle that new dads or male parents may have. There is a big stigma when it comes to men suffering from mental health issues. And add that postpartum depression is, you know, quote unquote, women's mental health issue. You'll get even more resistant to a new dad coming forward to get help. But according to an article in 2019 in Innovations in Clinical Neuroscience, approximately 8 to 10% of new fathers will experience a depressive episode in the first 3 to 6 months after the birth of their baby. These episodes can include, and these look different than when the birthing parent experiences a postpartum mood disorder, but these episodes can include anger, sudden outbursts or violent behavior, increase in impulsive or risk-taking behavior, including turning to substances such as alcohol or prescription drugs, irritability, low motivation, physical symptoms such as headaches, muscle aches, stomach or digestion issues, poor concentration, suicidal thoughts, withdrawing from relationships, or working a lot more or working a lot less. In an article by Dr. Robin Hossager-Boher, I'm probably butchering that name, who is an obstetrician, medical professional, discussed in an article that there are risk factors that can play a part in developing postpartum depression in men. And those risk factors could include hormones. We know that testosterone in men or male parents actually declines during their partner's pregnancy. So men are experiencing hormone shifts and changes as well. Birth parent depression. If the birth parent is having a depressive episode or going through a postpartum mood disorder, then the male parent is actually at greater risk of suffering as well. And I think oftentimes it comes from the idea that, you know, as the birthing parent is drawing away from, you know, life and going through this mood disorder, the non-birthing parent kind of takes on those extra duties while they're struggling or trying to get some help. And that may not be what they signed up for, or at least not what they had envisioned. Feeding disconnected from the baby and the birthing parent. So, you know, with the baby and the birth parent spending so much time feeding, it can make the non-feeding parent feel left out and unable to help. A family history of mental health issues. We know that if there are mental health issues, you know, are in the family, then you are at greater risk, whether you're a male parent or the birth parent. Sleep deprivation, psychological adjustment to parenthood. You may not have been prepared for what was expected in and what you would be going through as far as having a new baby. A lack of social support for parenting. Oftentimes we see, you know, mommy groups and play groups and things like that for the birthing parent, but we don't necessarily see dad groups for men. And financial stress, especially if you have, you know, the birthing parent is taking maybe a year to 18 months off, and the money you get isn't necessarily your full pay. This can cause some extra stress in the family. So like the treatments for postpartum mood and anxiety disorders in the birthing parent, treatment for the male parent is very similar. Talk therapy would be a minimum. Medication and alternative therapies such as exercise can help. I would also suggest if talk therapy isn't something that the male parent wants to do, because oftentimes they don't want to talk about these things or, you know, seeing a therapist, things like that, then at least talking to somebody, anyone, a dad, brother, uncle, or friend, just to get out what's bottling up inside. You can't keep it in forever. Journaling can also be helpful to release some of the thoughts and anxieties that they're holding on to. Prenatally, discussing with each other, between the two parents, you know, what each role the parents will take on, what that postpartum period will look like, how the non-birthing parent can help and be instrumental in everyone's recovery and feeding journey. If the birth parent is body feeding, it doesn't mean the other parent can't help. Feeding the feeding parent, soothe and comfort the baby after a feed and be present to support the feeding parent. Talking to one another and carving out time to be together without the baby can all be helpful in, you know, creating that thing that you need to move forward. So having a baby can change so much in your life. And I think one thing that we need to remember is that this is 2022. Having a mental health issue, it's not uncommon. And it's important to make sure that if you are struggling, if the birthing parent or the non-birthing parent is struggling, then it's important to get help. And you would basically start with your family doctor and then move from there. And it's okay to not be okay. I know we've heard this a lot since the pandemic started, but it is okay to not be okay. It is okay to not be happy with the way things are going, but it's important that you talk, at minimum, talk to somebody. And the sooner you can start talking to somebody about it, the better. We know nowadays that the pandemic has highlighted this for us. We know that getting help for mental health issues, because we do have a lack of support available, wait lists and things like that for mental health support, it can take a while to get the help that you want or that you need. So start as early as you can by talking to your family doctor. And some family doctors will, you know, help you through until you can get in touch with a professional, a psychologist or a counselor or social worker or things like that. But it's important to make sure that you are at least starting the process of getting that help and getting on wait lists if necessary. If you can afford to go outside of the general sort of OHIP thing, then absolutely give that a try. We don't always have the money to be able to do that. But if you can, absolutely do it. So, yeah, I know that's kind of quick and short and kind of to the point. I was going to get into a situation that happened to me earlier this week, but I have decided to let it go. I have decided to release it, but I will say, well, basically, I got a bad review for one of my classes, and they don't happen that often, but you know, they happen. It is what it is. Once every couple of years, one will crop up. And some of the stuff that was said was, you know, was understandable. I get it. And these reviews help me make my classes better. No problem. But the one thing that really kind of, you know, burnt my ass basically was being told that if they had known that the class was going to be taught by a doula, that the hospital should have been forthcoming in that, that they wouldn't have taken the class because doulas come with a preconceived bias and an agenda. She said, I had an agenda. I don't know what that agenda was. Didn't elaborate on that. And I know I have a couple of biases, but they said that my preconceived agenda was, you know, obvious throughout. Now, again, I don't know what that agenda was. I do state that my role is to teach them what all their options are and that they get to decide what their journey is going to be like. But apparently that's not a good agenda to have. I don't know. But anyways, I think what's bothering me most about it is that being told that because I'm a doula, I'm not an expert, despite the fact that I've been doing this for 16 years. I have been, I'm certified as a childbirth educator and a labor doula and a postpartum doula. I'm not certified as a postpartum doula anymore, but I was. And I'm constantly upgrading, constantly going to conferences, constantly reading, constantly looking at studies and all of that stuff. And to be told that I was not an expert and that because they couldn't Google the statistics I was giving, which came directly from the hospital themselves, so they will not be available on Google, they didn't really like that. So whatever, it is what it is. But I think what gets me is they're anonymous, but I'm pretty sure I know who actually said it, who actually gave this review. But I think for the most part, I'm getting a little bit tired of professionals like OBs and nurses. Well, maybe not nurses so much because they know the value of us, but other professionals out there like obstetricians and midwives and things like that who just think that we're, you know, we're just there for the crunchy granola stuff, which is untrue, particularly in my position. So I basically spent this week, so far this week, being pretty down about it, but I also realized that even though I have a bias, apparently, and I do have biases, I know this, and I've been working on them, but even though I apparently have some preconceived agenda, this particular person themselves had a massive bias towards the negativity of a doula, so of me being a doula. So, I mean, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, maybe? Anyways, wasn't really going to talk about that, but there you go. Anyways, that's it. Short and sweet. If you are struggling with a mental health issue, I highly encourage you to talk to somebody about it. I have talked about my mental health journey before on this podcast, so if you want to go back and listen to what my journey was like, I encourage you to do that. Can't remember what episode it was, but it would have been earlier on in the process. So I encourage you to, I got help. You can get help too. And having a mental health issue is not a stigma. It's not a bad thing. And we can get you the help that you need. You just got to start that journey towards the help. All right. I hope everybody has a good one. And yeah, we'll see you next week. I have an interesting topic, I think, next week if I'm going to do what I'm going to do. So we'll see you then. Bye.